have a brand new bottle of water right here, and he's going to preach until it's all gone. And from the way he's sweating in this hot building, I don't think that's going to take too long. But I'm excited about Brother and Sister Stewart being with us today, and he's going to minister the word of the Lord to us. We appreciate you so much, brother.
God, I'm thankful to be here today. It's a joy to be in this church today. And I give honor to your pastor and his lovely wife, their family. I'll tell you what, this is an incubator for God. Because God has got something going here. Amen. But it's ours to find out how to make it go where he wants it. There's no sense being discipled without being disciplined. And so there's a need for the word of God. Amen. Amen. If I might say, I'm very thankful to have my lovely wife with me. We're turning to lap 48 here in just a little while. And it's been a delight to have her as my bride and the mother of my children. My partner, and we've got a lot of good years in. Got a few more to go, but by God's grace, we'll go together. Sister Stewart, would you like to stand and testify, please? God. Hallelujah. God bless you. Would you be so kind as to sit down for just a little bit? I know you guys. You guys are wear out preachers, I'm telling you. I asked your pastor here. Guys, I enjoyed your music. I mean, it was great. You know, you guys are a blessing to a church. And I want you to know if I got a big hand, but I can't. You are a blessing. I'm glad for your service, the Lord. Ladies, you did a great job singing. Pastor, I ask you, I gave you something to examine. What do you have here?
I have a butter knife.
A what?
A butter knife.
What kind of knife is it?
It's a wooden knife.
A wooden knife. Are the numbers on the blades?
Yes.
You want me to hold that for you so you can see them?
E-E-H. Yes.
Well, what's the problem with it?
It won't cut anything.
It won't cut nothing.
No, sir.
All right. Give me my knife back. You have yours.
Oh.
No, I got my knife back. Okay. Now, the problem with church is sometimes people think the preacher's picking on them. Okay? And you're right. You're right. Because if I do my job, you're going to have to do your job. And I need to tell you that as you grow in the Lord, and I understand we've got a diversity here that's unbelievable. You've got dynamics that are fantastic. But as you grow with the Lord. And as the Lord begins to move things, you have to move with the word. You have to follow the preacher as he follows God. The Apostle Paul said, follows me as I follow Christ. Now, the problem is that you have not been following as you ought. All right, take your right hand, reach over your left hand, turn it up. Come on. Come on, I need your help. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You can do better. All right? Now, the problem is it'd take me too long to go around and smack all of you, okay? But they were going to thump. Well, anyway, that's earlier, okay? So we're not going to do that. We're just going to make sure we go forward with the word. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here today, Pastor. It is a great delight. I fell in love with this man when I first met him. His family, they're servants. They want God's will. And that's a joy for me because I'm getting older, and I keep looking for those that are willing to fill up the space that we have held in our time, contending for the word. You know what contending means, don't you? Fight. We're fighting for the word. And sometimes it's easy to have great services like this and still fight for the word. The Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, he chose to save men's souls. What you live for has to do with the word of God. 15%, 14 to 15% of your learning comes from hearing. And you have to understand that God wants your ear. He wants to speak to you. I started out as a heathen, a farm boy from northern Indiana. Born in Bloomington, raised in Delphi. And you have to understand that I was a wild man. I rode a motorcycle all over this nation. I had hair down to the middle of my back. I could reach up and touch it. I bought pot by the pound because I wasn't wasting my time. Okay? You have to understand. Snuck in here, didn't I? But you have to understand that it's the call of God. A friend witnessed to me about God's word. I could get rid of him, but I couldn't get rid of God's word because he showed up everywhere I went. And he's here now. And I want to encourage you. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word. How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? You got a God-sent man here. And I ask him that I might come here today to try to encourage this flock, this new birth of God's glory in this community. And I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to come and just encourage you today because there's something special about the church, the called out ones. Has anybody felt that nudge, that call? Man, that's powerful. Well, when I had hair down the middle of my back and smoked every day and did what I wanted. But I had another master. I played for the other team for a long time. Okay? But the problem is that the call was, come on, we're called to the Lord. Come out from among them and be separate. Now, be honest now, we sometimes don't make it very far as coming out. And the separation we don't make is as distinct as it ought to be. And that's why the word will separate us. It's as quick as a sword. It cuts down to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the flesh and the spiritual man. You know, it'll put you in your place, folks. The word of God. Now, I have been rebuked on many times that the Bible says that he rebukes those that he loves. Anybody ever been scalded by the Lord before? I'm not talking about just a little passive smack in your hand. I'm talking about where he said, no, no, no. But some of us are deaf, aren't we? Come on, you might as well, amen. I know who you are. And you're here. And I thank God because you have a call. But you've got to respond to the call to be effective. So today, Pentecost, it's 50 from the Passover, from the time that Christ gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins. 50 days later, the very man that denied him, cursed to do so, was the one that was up to hit a home run. Everybody say, this is the first day past 49. Now, God's perfect number is 7. Now, on 6 days, he made everything. He gave us a day of rest. Hey, that's nice. It's nice to have a day of rest. Preacher doesn't get a rest. Well, you know, I'm telling you, you ought to be thankful for a pastor that's willing to work and try to pastor. Honestly. But many people don't understand. They don't appreciate him keeping the lights on for you. While he's doing what God's asking, you're doing what you want. How many have been an addictive type personality? Okay, you bought a dozen of donuts to share with the whole family, and so you only ate eight. What? There was a nice pie. You knew the children, everybody would love it, but you ate the whole thing. Huh? And then it goes into all kinds of other things as far as addictive personalities, because we fall to our own prey, our own devices. We are subject to that of all kinds of issues. And the problem is we have to be cured. We need some help. Okay? When I was in the world, when I served the devil, I did it with everything I got. But he demanded more, and he didn't mind leaving me in a field to be ran over. He didn't mind leaving me along the stream to drown. He didn't mind leaving me in different situations and circumstances. He didn't mind seeing, I've got friends in the grave today, because he just flat killed them. But you see, I got a call from the Lord. And I want to encourage you, 50, say it again, 50, 50, 50. Now, you have to understand the sequence of numbers, and I won't spend a whole lot of time there, but in the Lord's progress, there's a beautiful thing about sevens. Seven times seven is 49. Peter, how many times do we have to forgive our neighbor? Let's go for 50. That means Pentecost. Let's get past where we've just, everybody, you made it a whole week. Anybody make it victorious a whole week? Woo! Well, I'm glad I came. 1 week, then I get another week, and then another week, and then another week. There's a progression about our God that helps us to get where we're supposed to be going, but you've got to start with today. We start on one, and then let's make it through seven. Let's have a day of rest. Let's go to the house of God. Let's hear the word. Let's go for another week, and let's go for another week. And in the process, we grow in God. That incubator is fantastic because you grow in God. Guess what? I had to grow too. You don't just get a call. He enables you because he gives you the word. It's doled out a little here, a little there. Some folks are bored with Bible studies. Bible studies are fantastic if you got the gumption to learn. But if you want to remain stupid with all your connections in the world, you'll go back. Okay, so I want to establish something here because we all started out as a believer. How many believers we got here? Whoa, nice. Okay, how many children of God we have here? Okay, yeah, that's good. And followers of the Lord? I mean, believers, followers. Okay, how about disciples? Well, it's thin out a little bit. Okay, saints of God. Okay, now we struggle there because gravity takes hold of our arm, and I'm telling you what, it just pulls on us, doesn't it? Or the reality is that we really haven't been everything we could be if we followed the Lord. I was enslaved to the devil, and he left me to die, and I didn't like it. I didn't like me when I served him, and I did not like the service that I did. I was ashamed of myself. Do I have anybody else that was there too? But he called. And I had to do something. So I asked him, you still a healer? You still a miracle? God, you do things that are outside. And so I had an encounter with the Lord that I had never had before in my life. And I don't want to go there, but at the same time, I feel like I need to. I was ripping across. I drove across this nation on a motorcycle, and I was a heathen and rode with some of the gangs and stuff. Not forever, just for a period of time. It doesn't take long to be corrupted. I was already corrupted. I could have helped them all. But the problem was, is that we're all corrupted. We're all sinners come short of the glory of God. Even the big bad dudes, you know, I go up to biker guys, you know, they got all their dirty, you know, they got their leathers on, they're all scrunch. I'm tough, man, because I got a leather jacket on here. And I flip them, I said, if you don't change the way you do things here, mom's not going to let you come to Christmas this next year. And they start giggling because they realize they've been told that before. You got to clean up your act, man. Well, I'm telling you, the joy of the church is for us to clean it up and do it together. God's asking us to do this together. But I was riding across Florida, and I asked the Lord for days. God, you're still real? You still do miracles? And yes, I was going down through there. I went down for a party for 10 days, heading down across Alligator Alley. And as I was ripping through the southern Florida area, that's almost 50 years ago, on my old Norton Commando. Now, hey, I'm telling you what. At least they'd make it to the next rest stop. The Harleys in those days weren't that good, okay? You'd see them at the gas stations, the rest stations, but you weren't gonna have to worry about them because they just couldn't keep up. But the thing is, and I was asking God, can he still do miracles? And he told me to pull into the next gas station. Has anybody been told by God to do something? That's a dumb thing. Why would the Lord tell me to do that? I don't need gas. I don't need oil. And I dismissed it. That's just me. My mind's playing games. Anybody get? Hello? Anybody get that? My mind's just playing games. That's just me. You know, and I dismissed it. Anybody else dismiss the voice of the Lord? And I was ripping down through there, and you have to understand, in those days, 65 was not a highway through. And I made it home from Orlando area in 14 and a half hours to northern Indiana. So I was not sitting still. I was flat ripping it up. But you need to understand that I was a heathen. But I was flying down the roads, a little bitty road that was probably as wide as half this church here. They call it Alligator Alley in those days. And the Lord said, pull into this next gas station up here. Well, I hadn't seen one. It's been miles. Yeah, 90 miles an hour. It doesn't take long for you to get miles on your... But then the Lord said, pull in. And so, oh, this is really weird. And I remember, I don't need gas, I don't need oil. But I pulled in. Little one pumper. I pulled up to the pump. I turned off the key. I reached down, turned off the gas. And as I stood up, my motorcycle fell to the ground. And I got off and I started looking at it. The two tubes that come up underneath the engine were broke completely off. The tube that went through the gas tank, there was about a 5/8 to 3/4 inch sliver left. Everything else had broke free. And I was sitting still. And God said, I'm still here. You need to understand. He'll help you. But you got to acknowledge where he is. Because he's still here. And he's looking for somebody to give him acknowledgement. He's looking for somebody that heard the call to obey his word. But there's a need for us to do so. So as much as we find ourselves as a wooden pocket knife that can't cut butter. I got another one here, brother. Here, check that out, man. It's fake. My boys never thought it was. They always played with it a lot. You know, there was a general named Custer that went into a battle with an identical gun to this. He lost to a bunch of Indians that just had bows and arrows. This one won't shoot. You can't get a pencil down. It won't do anything for you, okay? But it's a genuine fake. You need to understand that God, our God, is not a genuine fake. But the problem is if we're not disciplined by the word, we are a fake. If you're going to be that disciplined child, if you're going to be that Christ follower, if you're going to be that of a saint, you're going to have to hear from the Lord. And that's what I want to address today. I had you title it, but as much as it is, we have a little crunch on time here, and I'm not going to take and just go by the protocol, but I want you to hear what has to do with the word. In the book of, where are we going to go? Let's start Isaiah. No, Matthew. No, let's go St. John. St. John 3:16. Anybody ever heard that verse? That is the most popular verse in all of the world. That in the Bible, of the Bible, that's the most popular verse in all the world. But you have to get, in order to get to John 3:16, anybody help me out? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, our problem is that we have to go through the first part of the chapter to get to that. Everybody loves the love of God. But you see, Jesus was teaching a certain man that was a disciplined man, a man that thought he had all the real stuff. His name was Cornelius. He needed some help, didn't he? No, he wasn't Cornelius. What was his name? You remember? Yeah. He was a man of God. But the problem was, is that he had come to Jesus to find out, how do I get home? You have to understand that what you're doing right now is you're trying to find out how to get home. Have you made it home? Have I made it home? No, but I've come so close in the spirit that I have seen the power of God save my carcass. I've come to the point where, yeah, we've laid hands on the sick and we've seen them recover. 3 days to live, 3 days they sent them home from the hospital and they lived for another 14 years. And God swept through their family because God is still God. But there's a need for us to get back to the basics and let God be God. The Bible says, let God be God and every man a liar. Don't you tell me about my God. If you're not going to identify according to the scriptures, the most printed book in the entire world of history. There is no other book in the history of mankind that has ever been printed, read, declared, stolen. That'll help somebody out. It has a value. It's God's word. But we have got to value it ourselves. And the need that we have has to do with putting the authority of God's word before us. People take the name of the Lord, the most cursed, vile, profuse word in cursing is Jesus' name. You all have said it to denounce. But yet, at the same time, that is the most powerful name that's above every name. And the Bible says that at that name, every knee is going to bow and tongue confess that he is Lord. Now, our problem is that we have had the other Lord so long that we learned to live it. Kind of loose fit here. Okay? And so there's a need. Oh, yeah. Yeah, here. We come to church and we say, well, I want to go to church and I want to feel. Everybody feel? Everybody feeling right now? I'm feeling a little warm. Yeah. We need to tune up to the Spirit. This is for notes. We need to come to church and tune up to the Spirit. Young man, you ran around the church, I'm thrilled. You came to prayer, I'm thrilled. It's good to run. But the best place is to run to the house of prayer and to an altar prayer. To God be the glory. I'm telling you, get no better tune-up than when you pray. Men ought always to pray. And that goes for the women too, and children. But our need is to be able to open up our mouth and declare. Funny how Satan gets us to the point where we will not do because Satan has made it a mockery. We won't open up our mouth to pray. We'll pray until our understanding, the verbiage that we have well, runs out. We stop right there. Well, I don't want to look stupid. Well, you look stupid all doing all those other things you've done. Why can't you talk to God? Come on, stupid. You jumped off that high bridge. Come on, stupid. You did a lot of dumb things. What's wrong with praying past your own understanding? Because the Spirit bids us to come. You have to understand, to follow God, you've got to let your heart engage you. And therefore, when you pray with all your heart. The Bible says if you seek him with a whole heart, he'll be found. There's a need for us to find him. We pray oftentimes according to our intellect. I don't want anybody to think I'm looking stupid here and say something foolish or funny or odd or awkward. I'm telling you what, I went to rock concerts where you got 1.5 million, close to 3 million people piled into one mud hole. We didn't care how it looked. We come to church and think we got to make, look at the guys at the ball games. They're insane. They take their clothes off and run across the, in the name of football or basketball or, what's wrong with you? Okay, the problem is that we've been serving that master so long that we don't have any self-respect. And so we need to make certain that when we come to the master, we take note. And so I want to give you just a little short thought here because there's something we need to do. We need to think this out. Okay, now my young sister here had made mention that, she likes to know. There are things in the Bible that have to do with us learning. But you've got to take and be willing to learn. That's, if God puts a message on this man's heart as pastor of this assembly, and he prepares it and makes it so it's palatable, so it's understood, so it can be discerned, and it has, can I say, the word of God to back it. And God put it there for your need, and you don't show up, you're still responsible. Because God gave him the word. Now, I'm saying this for your own benefit, because oftentimes we say, I don't need church. Oh, yes, you do. You need the church a whole lot more than you ever thought you did. Because I'll tell you, the power of God is here. And some of you experienced it today. Some of you are standing back and being a participant, and some are just a spectator. But I'm telling you what, you need to be more than a spectator. You need to be a participant. Involve yourself in prayer. My house should be called a house of prayer. I need to pray when I get to the house of God. I need to pray always. Woo! I don't have to just do it here. I can go in, when I'm going down the road. After I got the Holy Ghost, I was praying in the tongue, praying in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues in my 70 Barracuda going 15 miles an hour down a long straight highway, which that Barracuda could eat it up. But the problem was, is I got the Holy Ghost and I was seeking something else. Not the thrill of speed or sound or the loud noise. I wanted the Spirit. I just chugging along in second gear because I need him. And there are people with needs here today, and I want to address that. But we need to have a new master. We need to acknowledge our new master. So I want to turn quickly here. You got the scripture here today? Thank you. Let's go to Exodus 21:5. Okay, we got it? All right. Well, let's go to 4, and we'll go from there. Thank you. Okay? All right. If his master have given him a wife, and she have born him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. A lot of you are coming into this thing by yourself, and you're responsible for yourself. Okay? Now, if the master just gave you some benefits, that's what the devil did. A lot of you had cheap relationships that had nothing to do with any involvement of God. And the devil's not going to give you anything. He's going to keep everything he's got because he wants to destroy everything that has to do with what God wants. But now there's also a good master, okay? And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, and I will not go out free. I'm staying. Now, here's a problem, because you see, people come to the church, and they never knew that they got a new master. A lot of what you found, what you fell up here, you got a new master, man. You don't have the old one that was keeping you. You got a new master. But you got to acknowledge him. I love my master. I know where I had been. I know how it was. But I also know that I've got a new master, and I love my master. And what he has added to me. But I came alone. But he's added to me. I'm not leaving. Verse 6, I believe. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. Do you know what? The saints of God are going to judge the world. Wow. Do you realize the power of this place? In the process of you growing to be the saints of God, you will judge the world. Yeah. But by his word. Okay. And bring him to the door. Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What is the purpose of the church? To bring them to Jesus so they can know what it is to have a new master. Now, you have to understand, when the Bible was first declared, okay, time of the New Testament was written and declared, one-third of the world's population were slaves. Everybody say one-third. I want to make sure you're awake, okay? One-third. One, two, three, slave. One, two, three, slave. One, two, three. One-third of the world was slaves. Okay? Right now, if you look at the politics of our world today, and you look at how things are so hated and dramatized, and you got to repay for slavery, for the bondage of days gone by, let me tell you something. There were just as many white slaves as black. It's not owned by one sect, okay? Slaves. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's more than half that are slaves. Did you hear me? No, I'm not talking about race. I'm talking about slaves. People that are bound by what they do and what they're associated with and where they go and how they do it. We're a nation of laws and we're lawless. And they're making new laws every day. And we're more lawless. They don't keep the rules. We elect them to keep the rules. And they elect to make themselves millionaires. That's what's the problem. But we have to get back to the basics. Do you love your master? I haven't been found drunk in 48, going on 49 years now. I'm coming up on Jubilee, folks. Woo! I get the glory of knowing I got seven more. I'm not telling you I didn't make some mess ups. But I haven't smoked a cigarette. I haven't drank. I have not smoked a pot. I haven't taken the pills. I haven't done any of that fun stuff they say is fun. So I won't know where I was and what I did. That's what they made out. My old master said it was a fun thing to do. And I got friends that have died from the complications of those things. Hepatitis C, I buried an old friend just a couple years ago. He's a dear friend. I loved him a lot. We had a blast. His wife said when I came by, I was the first person that made him laugh in over 2 years. He just wasted away because what had been his master. He was a preacher's boy. Come on, folks. He was a preacher's boy. And they didn't even know who the master should be. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But he told that dear soul, said, sir, you're a learned man, but except you're born again of the water and the spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Except you're born again of the water and the spirit, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. And there's a need for you to be able to see that. How many have been looking today? I saw a sister come up and look through prayer. Whoa, that's nice. Great. Keep it up. Keep looking. How do you look for the things of God? Prayer and fasting. Come on. Come on. Yeah. When you lift up praise and worship to your God, man, I'm telling you, that's beautiful. But you need to understand that I need to follow the word. Because in the process of following the word, I got to follow the Lord. And following the Lord has to do with instructions. Now, I want to finish this here because I want you to see what's going on here. Then the master shall bring him unto the judges. And he shall be also bring him to the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. Now, come on. It's what you're doing. It's very scriptural right now, okay? Because it has to do with the church for eternity, okay? And it says, his master, shall bore his ear through with an awl. Now, awl is not an ice pick. An awl is tapered. And the farther you go into it, the bigger impression it makes. But if he's going to take, can I help your help, brother? Now, I'm going to take, and I'm not going to take, but at the same time, if I'm the master and he says I don't want to leave, I'm staying here. I'm going to serve you and I'm going to be glad because you're the best thing I've had. Then it's the master's job to take him to the house of God and to bore him through his ear with an awl. Now you have to understand, where is that? It's the door. It's also the doorpost. He's putting it into the doorpost. You have to understand that the doorpost is really the church. How are you coming in and out of the presence of God? Because you walk by the doorpost. And if there are two or three gathering in his name, he's in their midst. Come on, folks. You push that door. Push this door. I'm telling you, we found that door. Man, it's good. I'm on one side. You're on this side. You brought the first part of the service up. Come on. There were a whole bunch of other preachers in between here. You too, sis. Yeah. But we all pushed around that door. But to the doorpost of the church, to the very foundation of the word. He drove it into the post so they could be able to speak to him without having to raise his voice. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. You've got to hear the Spirit. You've got to be able to sense the Spirit. Because God's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get you close enough to the church that he can actually bore that ear through so you will actually be attentive to what he's calling for. Somebody needs to hear from the Lord. Somebody needs to know what he's asking. And we sometimes come to church. Thank you, my friend. We say, you're not going to do that to me. I'm not going to be a slave. You've already been a slave. You just didn't know it. But is anybody thankful to have, say, 50? Man, you know, I'm celebrating. 1972, August 12th, 1972, 9:45 in the evening, I went down in the water in Jesus' name, and when I came up, I was speaking in other tongues. I'd just been to the altar a little. I went to the barber that morning, got my hair cut off. I went to church that night. And guess what? Guess who showed up for somebody that was obedient? He did. Because I did. He shows up when you use his name in prayer. Two or three gather in his name. Come on, let's push that door back and forth. Let's, yeah, come on. Amen, amen, amen. That's the joy. Come on, folks, you get involved in this thing too. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I love my master. Our problem is we don't have a love like we think we ought to, or as we know we ought to. And we want to be saved without being saved. And so there's a need for discipline. And the process of discipline. I want to take you to let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah is the most referred to book in the Old Testament because it has so much about the Christ. Anybody ever enjoyed the Christ, the one that fulfilled all Scripture to fulfill God's will for us, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? God had you in mind when he looked out the window of time and he said, they're going to play for the enemy's team. But I'm buying them back. Funny you should teach about a man that would have to buy his own wife. I'm telling you, the Lord's in a buyback program. And he's been there from the foundation of the world because he knew you were going to serve the other master first. He knew the power of the devil. He knew that liar is going to be able to get a hold of you and me and cause us to all be sinners, come short of the glory of God. But I want you to understand that he knew he could be victorious, but it was going to require him a sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The one that meant more to him. He did not abort his son. He let his son come and grow to fruition and there fulfill in Christ, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Savior of all men. He let him be our salvation. His blood atones our sin. And our joy is to be able to say, I love my master. But when was the last time you actually showed the love for your master? As you truly ought. Some of you came from pretty grungy circumstances. Now, we've aborted babies. We've aborted families. We've aborted children. I mean, I'm just, you know, people just walk off and leave their kids, leave their family. Let somebody else raise them. We've aborted. We're not without sin. We are sinners, folks. But he didn't abort us. He could have said, no, I'm done with this. I'm done with this. The creator of all creation, robed in self and flesh, dwelled among us. The Bible says we didn't get it. We did not comprehend it. But it was God that robed in self and flesh. And he paid the price that you and I could be bought back. So that we were servants of sin. The Bible says, he who does sin is a servant of sin. And we, come on, we're did you have to teach your children how to lie? Steal? Oh, man, while we were going down one side of the grocery store, kid be loading the grocery store into the basket on the other side. Well, it's mine. And as soon as you try to take it away from me, it's mine. And then they want us to go to jail. You know, we don't have any money. Huh? We can't afford that. It's mine. You got a little older. Well, you can write a check. Yeah, go to jail for that one too. Our problem is that we're apt to sin all the day long. When are you going to be happy for a new master? When you enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. There's a need for the church to be the church in this hour. Because I'll tell you, if anything is going to be seen in the world, is they're going to know you by the love of God as you have love one toward another. Because I am so thankful for my master. My master's done good stuff for me. I look back and I think, man, that heathen Tim Stewart, he was a scoundrel, he was a rascal, he was no good. And I watched as he grew in the Lord. I never thought that I'd be a pastor. Matter of fact, at class reunion, sometimes you'd think that I had the plague. Because Stuart's no fun anymore. But Stuart doesn't have to be high or drugged or doped in order to be able to have fun, to be able to smile. Stuart learned that because I got a new master. But you need to understand that you should appreciate your master. You should be able to appreciate your master. But you've got to understand that you need that master. Now, here, in Isaiah 1, verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and broken or brought up the children that they have rebelled against me." Verse 3, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass, the donkey, his master's crib." Now, in Bible days, the ox was the most important family part. It was the family truck. It brought the produce coming and going. It took your family to everything it had to do. And people said, "Well, I don't want an old ox." The Bible says, "Muzzle not the ox that treads out the corn." Don't you pick on your pastor now. But I'm telling you what, you ought to thank God that he's there treading out the corn. Because you need to understand, you need to hear the word of God. He's trying to make sure that it's valuable for you, something that's nourishing. And don't tell him he can't have. He's a working pastor. You need to understand, you ought to thank God for that. Because God gave you a gift. And the donkey can be loaned out, and there's scriptures for that. You loan one out, and they beat it too much and kills it. You owe for that. Yeah. You've been loaned out a whole bunch, haven't you? Some of you have been beast of burden. But you need to understand, at least the ox knows his owner. Some of you don't even know that. You're owned. You were owned by the enemy of your soul. And you're owned by the master, Jesus Christ. Your Savior. He paid the price on Calvary. 50. Say it again. I'm getting weeks in because I'm thankful I can make another week. You know, I'm getting older. I was just a kid when I started out. And I got 5, 6, and I'm running up on 7 sevens. Yeah, no, I'm not gambling. I'm playing for real because I got a Savior, folks. And I love my master. He's given me a good wife. I love my wife. I love my children. He's given me a good life. But I'm owned. So are you. But you have to acknowledge it. That old dumb donkey, and I've ridden them and I've had all kinds of occasions with them. But I'm telling you what, they're cantankerous as can be, but at least they know where their stall is. Some of you need to understand where the church is and how important it is for you to make it back. Because there's a need for you to have a church in your life today. Because you may have been loaned out a whole bunch over the years, but you need to know you belong here. You need the word. But you're owned. Now, just let me bear with this here just a little bit farther here. Okay, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel, now Israel is a spiritual side. Israel is Jacob's descendants and their spiritual enlightenment. Jacob was a spiritual enlightened man. He didn't have a right to what he got. But because he wanted it from God, he got it. And Israel became a nation, which became a spiritual prototype of everything that God would have. And as much Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. I'm giving you something here today to consider. That if a dumb old ox can know who his owner is, acknowledge, hey, you watch even big beast, you know, they see the master coming up, they lean over there, scratch by my ear. I like that. That's my master. Scratch right there. I like that. Now, some of you love your dog more than you love the Lord. So you do a whole lot more scratching for that dog than what you do for the Lord. But some of us need to take a little time to spend with the Lord. Because you'd be amazed if he said, "Draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you." I'll get close to you if you'll get close to me. That old ox lean up against. I've had cattle. I've had all kinds of animals come up. They just because they like the attention. You know, hey, I like you. I remember you. In Jesus' name. Jesus, be kind to help that soul. Jesus' name, help her. Jesus' name. Oh, God, help her. All right, saints. What's her name? Let's pray. Let's pray. Come on, church. Let's pray. Jesus, be kind. Help this dear soul, oh God. She needs your help. She needs your strength. No, I know, Lord, you can reach farther than what we can. We can help you only prop her up. But, Lord Jesus, you can deliver her completely and thoroughly. In Jesus' name, bless her. Encourage her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The joy of being able to come to the house of the Lord. I may not be able to do this, but I got a master. I've seen him heal. I've seen him heal before. I've seen him heal me and my children. I remember having a wart on my hand. It just come back. And I worked with my hands all my life. And I remember one time I just got so tired, I'd put snowball on it, I'd pull it out, pliers, I'd cut it out. I'd done all kinds of stuff to get rid of that wart. And it was a seed wart. It just kept on getting bigger and bigger. And one day I said, in Jesus' name be gone, I'm tired of this. And it was Wednesday before I realized it was gone. I thought, man, this thing of prayer works. And I'm telling you, on the little things, but your God is ever attendant to your needs. He knows your desires, but he wants to be able to have a closeness, because if you get close enough to pray, and you get close enough that you'll breathe his name in prayer. Come on, folks. You don't want to take and extend that all out where it takes and enlarges your ear. You want to stay as close as you can to hear from the Lord. What, Lord? Come on. Some of you have to come all the way back to church to pray. He wants, no, the whole purpose is for you to understand that all, the farther away you get, the bigger the hole is going to get. And you're ripping it open. But he wants to use you without destroying you. That's my master. Has anybody got a master here? Does anybody know who owns you? Does anybody appreciate the fact that from the foundation of the world, he sought you out? He prepared a perfect lamb without spot or blemish. Moses came out of the bondage of that of being slave in a nation of in slavery 416 years. They've been a long time, buried a whole lot of Hebrews back there in the sand of Egypt. But on the way out, they had a Passover. Been a long time since they'd had one. Everybody say 50. Come on, 50. 50. He was coming down. He was coming down with the law. Coming down the mountain. 50. It was Pentecost, because he got the law from God. Well, I'm telling you what, if you can get this understanding of how to pray and seek the face of God, 50. Come on, I got the 49 in. Now I'm going for 50, because I'm operating in his power, because I've known the love of God for years. And every you have to understand, in bondage, they could go free on the seventh year in the Hebrew nation. You know, you're a slave. You know, you serve your time. You've done what you need to do. Bye. Now, the wife and the children stay here. Now, if you came with them, they go with you. But if not, you can go. You can go. You know, one of the hard things in the church, sometimes pastors forget that it's an all-volunteer crew here. I'm not going to make you do a thing for the Lord. Now, I could wrestle a few of you down. But after a while, you guys know each other better. Who can do tag wrestling better? Okay? But it's not that. It's the love of your master. What puts us in the church together? The love of our master. But 50 had to do with Moses coming down Sinai. But man, they'd blown it already. Moses blew it because he busted up the laws. But when Christ came, he came, and then he came to the church. Now think about it. He died, he arose, he ascended in the heavens, and testimony after testimony. He was seen of over 500 at one time in that time. But we find also that there was a need. When they declared who it was that was the master to the Hebrews, those that had killed him, Acts 2:38. You mind if I join you there? Yeah. Acts 2. Pastor, he alluded to it earlier. I'll be honest with you. In this one page of notes here, I got enough to go for at least 4 or 5 hours, because there's so much there. But I'm telling you, 50. 50. Let me see. I got 4 weeks in of 7 days, 5 weeks in of 7 days, 6 weeks in of 7 days. Every time I'm coming back to my master. And I understand, my master said, you can stay. But he said, no, you listen to what I have to say. And you keep coming back. Another week. Another week. Another joy of the church. Another week. Another week. Another week, I get to go back and I get to study God's word, my master's word. I get to enjoy the benefits of taking knowledge of my master. He's a good master. He's been great for me. He hasn't hurt me. He's healed my children. He's healed my life. He's healed my finances. He's healed my life and my poor reckoning. He wants to heal yours as well. But he wants somebody to come back. Not just next week. The week after that. And you start logging in those sevens. Get up to 49. And then there's years. Like I said, I'm coming up on Jubilee 50. I'm on 49 right now. Yeah, I left that old Stuart way back there. His hair was in a bubblegum box for years. My mom had it up until a couple years ago. And my dad was always on me. Son, when are you going to look like a man? You know the scripture says, there's things in that book if you just read it for what it says. Then you can get a hint. Anybody can get a hint? Get a hint? Get a hint? Bible does talk about a woman's hair being a glory. Talks about a man. It's a shame for him to have long hair. And I'm not here to pastor. I'm just simply saying, that's in a book. There's also scripture about being naughty. The naughtiness. Naughty. I'm not talking about just being nasty. I'm talking about naughtiness. It's a sin. Some of you trash talk so bad, you ought to have your mouth washed out. It's not just ball players. It's just trash talkers. But you need to understand when the day, 50. Everybody say it again. I got a great master. I got a great master. When I call his name, he shows up. When I go to the doorpost and I rely on what I've learned at that word, I got a good master. I got a great master. I love my master. I love my wife and my children, but I love my master. And I don't have time to really put this in its category, but I'm telling you what, right now I'm just finishing up weeks, years, but I'm getting one day coming. I'm one day when I can simply stand up and say, this is it. The Jubilee of the Lord. Because he took the law that was written on a tablet could be broken. And he put it in our heart by his spirit. Because we love our master. And I proved it again and again and again. I love my master. It wasn't just serving him one day, one week, one year, 5 years, 10 years, 7 years, 14 years. I got 49 years logged. I have no glory in that. No, he drove them all in, and he said, you just stay there, and you listen to my word. I never dreamed I'd be a preacher. I never dreamed that I'd be a pastor. I never dreamed that I'd be called a bishop. But there's a 50 that is in the eye of God where he wants to bring you in and allow his spirit to fill you up. Because he wants to fill you with his spirit. He wants to pour out of his spirit. He said in the last days he would pour. Anybody notice any of the daily signs of where we're at? This is a strange world. As I said, more than half are slaves today. Anybody want to serve the good master? Because the devil's a liar. And the father thereof, he only wants to kill and destroy. I got tired of him. Anybody else tired of that master? Anybody want to report in on the first day? Yeah, 50 be a great day. Day of Pentecost. Peter, that cursed to deny. I love it. He cursed to deny. He was the one up to bat. He's preaching. You say, well, 50 days ago, we heard him cussing, denying he knew the Lord. Yeah, 50. Say it one more time. 50. All right. 35, Acts 2, 35. Until I make thy foes thy footstool. Who's the biggest foe that you have? Not beside yourself. The devil. He's a liar. And he made you look so stupid. You're still wearing the ornaments that have to do with that. You need to understand that very much. We're going to get there in just a couple of verses here. You know what this is? It's called a safety vest. Much of what's preached and taught in the church has to do with safety. For your own benefit. You're going to be seen and people make fun of you. You say, oh, you wear that little thing. You look so weird. So, I'm trying to be safe. Let's go there. Let's go there. I'm going to make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I got a great master. He fulfilled all of what the book is all about. This whole book was written about him coming and then coming again. I got a master that's coming, man. I love it because I know my master's coming soon. That God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. When was the last time God pricked your heart? Oh, I love it. Man, we've been watching the things, the miracles of God happening here today. Today! What brought you to that altar? What brought you to God? I got a great master, folks. I love my master. I love my master. And I'm so thankful for my family. I love my family. But my master, he's done so much for me. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent. Get turned around now. Come on. We don't need any more of this stuff here. Colonel Custard thought he was something hot. His wife was the gal that danced with all the guys because, see, he put bullets in the hem of her big fluffy skirts there, and he became, you know, kind of a, well, that's pretty cool. You know, it kind of swishes when they dance, isn't it? And he had a pretty gun, didn't he? Yeah. And the problem is he didn't have a God because he himself thought he was too big to be defeated. And Indians with bows and arrows, maybe some guns and stuff, they took him out, wiped him out. Little Bighorn, anybody hear of it? Yeah, we're talking about history here. I'm talking about your history here. I got a master, folks. He's the best I've ever known. I've never known anybody like the Lord Jesus. I mention his name in prayer, he shows up. I can be in dark situations where I don't know how it's going to end, and I breathe his name in Jesus' name, and he shows up. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, said unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Remission. Sin needs to be in remission. I'm telling you, a lot of folks think that I accept the Lord as my personal Savior, and therefore I'm saved. No, the prescription is for sin to be in remission. There needs to be a servant that knows that I need to serve him without sinning. And therefore the word, the value of the word means something to me. My master said, he's got my ear. My master told me, no, don't do that. That's not good. Come on, you need to be led by the Spirit. No, don't go there. No, don't do that. Don't do. And everybody else is going, but my master said, no, let's don't do that. I'm telling you, I got a good master. I love my master. Oh, I love him. And for the remission of sins, so sin would be brought into, it stopped growing. You can't live on the border. You've got to. Help me, Lord. I want to land this where it belongs. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, my God he's not a liar. When he showed up on my motorcycle at the gas station with the gas turned off, the key turned off, and I was standing, not grinding down the highway, and said, I'm still here. It took me 2.5 hours to get this heart back in my chest because I knew it was the Lord. And you know that the Lord's been talking. He's been calling you. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. The only reason why he won't choose you is because you won't be faithful to let him be your master. to own you. There's a need for you to be owned by the Lord. You need to be about his business. His business. I don't care how much money you make, but I'm telling you what. It's a beautiful thing, having a master. The first tenth. What is that? It's called tithe. Why should I give that to my master? So he can trust me. What did he say, Malachi? Well, you robbed me of tithes and offerings. They didn't realize that. Think about it now, folks. If he's going to be the master, he's just asking you to just report in and be faithful. Because this helps the church to grow. That doorpost has got to be here for another generation. We've heard people talk about the children. Come on. I love my children. I want them. I pray for my grandkids all the time because I want them to know him. I got one sitting right here. We prayed for him a bunch because we want him to serve the Lord. We pray. We still got some prayers to do. But at the same time, why, he feels a call of God to try to minister the gospel. Well, I'm not trying to hold him up. I'm trying to make sure that he's held up before the Lord. We need to pray for one another, folks. Because God promised he'd give you the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. I remember I went down the baptistry and Satan showed up. That old mastermind, he said, you can't have it. I've been told about the Holy Ghost. I didn't know what it was. I've been told about it. But I remember, I said, God, I had a vision right there in the courthouse square as I pulled up the stoplight that night to go to church. Now, I've done a lot of smoking and drinking over the years and things that weren't really good. But at the same time, that one was not drug-induced. I had a vision right there sitting at the stoplight, the only stoplight in Carroll County at the time. And I said, God, I give my right arm for the Holy Ghost. And I saw myself living the rest of my life with a wife and doing my work and doing what I could with just one arm. And I knew I could do it. I didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was. But I said, I give my right arm for the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost that night. Satan showed up and said, no, you can't have it. I said, I read it in the book. I got the doorpost to show you. This is the Word of God. I got the doorpost. Oh, yeah. That night I got up. I'm not afraid to show some of my inhibitions. I used to be able to stand up in front of a few hundred thousand people and scream my head off and act like an idiot, you know, and with or without drugs or alcohol. But that night I got pretty excited when I repented at an altar prayer. And I got up and I felt so clean. I felt so good. I'm over there hollering, carry me away, Lord. I want it. This is the best party I've ever been to. This sin getting rid of business here, getting it behind me. Satan showed up and said, no, you can't have it. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. I said, no, it's mine. I read it in the book. This promise is unto you and your children all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So let's go here. For the promise is unto you and your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Come on. Come on. The beauty of holiness. Some of you don't understand that, but the pastor gave it to you in time. The beauty of holiness is putting on a safety network. You're putting on what saves you from what will hurt you. Putting on righteousness. Living not naughty, but nice. Because you don't need to advertise what God gave you. Okay, if it's not for sale, take it out of the window. Is that fair? Just get it out of the window. That's safe. Some of you need to understand that what God wants of you is he wants you to make a week and then years of weeks and then years of weeks. Because when it's all said and done, he did this for the love of a slave from the foundation of the world. He loved me. Did he love you? Has he brought you a distance? When was the last time? Come on, folks. Some of you need to appreciate the fact that he's called. I'm telling you, he's got a jubilee in store for you. He's got the Holy Ghost. He wants to write it in your heart because you love God, not because it's the rules. Do you get that? He wants to write his laws in your heart because you love him, not because it's the rules of God, of just safekeeping. Well, how close is it to the edge? You know, it's amazing how the preacher preached a line. Here's the line, and people stand there. Didn't hurt me. Didn't kill me. It didn't destroy me. He's trying to give you a safe space. Going up Pike's Peak, I remember my daddy, he hated heights. So he sat in the middle and he crunched the back seat. He's a big guy too. He had it all crumpled down to about an inch and a half thick in the center of the back seat while my brother and I were driving. Look, Dad, look over here. He had his teeth gritted, his eyes shut. He said, shut up and leave me alone. He didn't want to go there. And there's a whole lot of folks that are going to go back. They're going back to the old master. And you're going to take on more devils. The Lord's giving you an opportunity to enjoy what's called Pentecost. It's not a denomination. It's an experience with a living God. Did I tell you? I got a great master. I love my master. Is there anybody else that wants to tell him? I'm thankful for the call. Would you step out of your seat? Would you mind? I know that we all gone way over here, and everybody, you all preached for a long time before I got a chance to get them to try. Give me a break. Anybody want to talk to him now? You want to declare it of your own lips? That's where he wants to hear it. He wants to hear it from you. I love my master. It's not rules. It's the love of God. And the Bible says it'll be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that a beautiful circle for the fact that he gave us the door. He gave us the doorpost. And that doorpost is still standing today, folks. And when we mention his name, he shows up in prayer, for preaching, teaching, because he's God. But he's our master. If the ox can know the difference, how come you cannot declare it yourself? Would you come? Would you like to join in prayer? It'd be nice. Everybody just come on. Come on. It's okay. We're all a team. We're all a team. Oh, si, bonita moni. He promised the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. For the love of God, come and declare your master. I love my master.